welcome back to a new edition of It's Good with Gary. It's been almost a year since we've been on. It's been a while. It's been a hectic year, but getting back into the swing of things, vlogging regularly, and we're glad to have Doug Shockey joining us back on the podcast once again. Doug, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks. I've been gone a lot longer than you have, so this should be interesting on both ends.
Well, last night was an interesting night with the Notre Dame-Alabama game. Notre Dame came into the game as a 10-point underdog. We talked about it a little bit beforehand. You took Notre Dame. I took Alabama. We made a bet on it. The loser, owes me a drink now next time we get together. What did you think when you were watching the game last night?
Honestly, Gary, I turned it off at halftime. It was ugly. And I picked Notre Dame just because I think it's good for the sport if someone other than an SEC team wins, though honestly, I didn't really have too much faith that I didn't have too much faith that Notre Dame would win the game.
Okay, well, that's not a reason to pick somebody just because it's good for the sport. See, Mike, who has been on the podcast before, talk about Mikey G all the time. You're friends with Mikey G. He went along the same lines. Well, I'm tired of the SEC being the dominating force. Well, if you're not tired of it when the Yankees are the dominating force, if you're not tired of it when, I don't know, pick whoever else, the Lakers are winning year in and year out, the Celtics are on their run back in the day, then don't be tired about it with the SEC. And I made this comment on Facebook and got some interesting feedback about maybe we've had a playoff system all along, and the playoff system is just that the SEC regular season whittles it down to one person to then beat the rest. Just because they're good, obviously they're good, they're dominating, is that really good for the sport to mix it up? I mean, clearly...
Here's the thing. I'm not a Yankees fan, so I can't really go along with that one, but as a Green Bay fan, I mean, perennially, we are a winning team now. We don't necessarily win the Super Bowl every year, but of course, I want to see my team win year in and year out, but I understand if other people start to get tired of that, and that it might not be good for the sport.
So then,
if
Green Bay were then to say, let's say Green Bay makes it to the Super Bowl, and they were going to play, I don't know, let's take the Broncos. They haven't been to the Super Bowl in a while. And I said, I'm picking the Broncos to win. Well, why are you picking the Broncos? Not because of Peyton Manning, not because they're the better team, they've won more games in a row. I'm picking them because it would be better for Green Bay not to win again. They won just a couple years ago. I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I feel like in sports, a lot of people tend to pick with their hearts a lot more than they pick with their heads. I mean, honestly, that's kind of where my Notre Dame pick was yesterday. It was, which is the lesser of two evils, and I mean, for the first time in probably my life, I actually picked Notre Dame to win a game and was rooting for Notre Dame.
Okay, well, I will probably never pick Notre Dame. I am heavily biased against them. However, I don't view it as a lesser of two evils. You can't convince me that the SEC is not the most dominant conference, hands down, by far. I'm going to stick with them almost every time. Yes, they had a couple disappointing losses, and we can get to that in a minute. As far as the It's Good with Gary bowl pool, I got to congratulate Joel Loftus, my buddy from pilot training, who won the bowl pool last night, because he picked Alabama, and the second place person, whose team name is Guest, I have no idea who they are. Guest, if you're out there and you're listening, please let me know who you are. Joel picked Alabama, Guest picked Notre Dame. He ended up winning the bowl pool. Congratulations, Joel. We'll try and get you on here soon and hear how you made some of your picks. But, Doug, you had a terrible meltdown. You missed the last 10 games to finish with only 12 out of 35 games picked correctly. Please tell me you have something to say for yourself.
This was not one of my better years. Honestly, I don't have a lot to say for myself, except I picked straight Mountain West teams, and the Mountain West went, what was it, one for five, I think, one win and four losses, so right there it didn't really start me off on good footing.
Well, Boise State won. San Diego State lost.
Yeah, Boise, I think, was the only Mountain West team that won. Everyone else lost.
Air Force lost.
Yeah.
I don't remember the other ones off the top of my head. Now, we talked about Mike a minute ago. Mike, he was in prime position over the weekend to win the whole pool. All he had to do was win a couple games, and he was locked in. And he dropped the last three games, knocking him out from first place to third place. That's heartbreaking.
Mike has been a little blue at work the last couple of days. He was talking about it the other day and saying that he really had no chance of winning.
No. What's a bigger meltdown? The Yankees losing 4 straight to the Red Sox, or Mike losing, dropping 3 straight bowl games to lose the bowl pool?
I don't know. I think that, that's a toss-up. I'm going to have to go with Mike on that one.
All right, Noah, what else stood out to you from bowl season? Actually, I'll throw this to you first, and then you can tell me what stood out to you from either any of the games in particular. Last night, Brent Musburger was going on and on about A.J. McCarron's girlfriend and his mom, and that turned very awkward very fast and seemed to pick up some steam from mainstream media carrying on about Brent Musburger talking about A.J. McCarron's girlfriend. Was that awkward to you? Was that awkward to anybody else? I felt like that's not the time and place for that conversation, Brent.
I think what Brent said was extremely respectful about her. I think the blame does not lie with Brent Musburger. The blame lies with the producers who kept going back and showing the video. I mean, honestly, the commentators are kind of shackled by what appears on the television screen in front of them, and they have to commentate on what appears in front of the screen. Brent Musburger wasn't down in the trailer saying, go to camera 4, roll camera 4, you know, whatever the terminology is. So, honestly, I mean, Kirk Herbstreit and Brent Musburger had to go along with whatever was being shown. It just so happened that it was A.J. McCarron's girlfriend.
You're right, but I felt like that was a little weird, just carrying on. All right, what else stood out to you from bowl season? Any games in particular?
Honestly, the biggest thing that stood out to me is I've always been a proponent of have all of these bowls. You know, it's cool that teams get to go to the postseason, that they get to get their free PlayStation and goodie bag or whatever. And, I mean, it basically gives them, what, an extra 15 practices or something? That's like having an extra...
It's an extra 2 weeks for the season.
It's an extra spring camp, basically. So it vaults them into the following season in, I think, a positive way. That being said, though, I mean, some of these games are getting a little bit ridiculous. I turned on SportsCenter, or what I thought was SportsCenter, on Sunday night because I wanted to watch the football wrap-up. And as it turns out, there's the GoDaddy.com Bowl between Kent State and Arkansas State on, what, the 6th of January. I didn't even realize. Like, I am a huge college football fan, and I didn't even realize that I was turning on a fresh bowl game. And it got to the point where, like, ESPN was replaying these bowl games over and over again, and my initial thought was, oh, which one are they replaying now? And then I realized that it was Kent State and Arkansas State, which no one had watched yet. So, and honestly, the national championship game being after the first weekend of NFL playoffs, that's insane. I mean, by that point, I feel like you're starting to lose your audience. Once the NFL playoffs start, people are going to transition to the NFL and stick with that. It felt out of place last night.
I think you've got a valid point, but I'm going to say, let's table some of the discussion for when the national title games will be played for next week in particular. We'll move that topic on to there. But some of those games, yeah, they're ridiculous. And how about the TaxSlayer.com Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl? Do you think we can pony up the money and get an It's Good with Gary Bowl?
Dude, I told you we need a Shockey Sellers Bowl, so maybe we could have, like...
Shockey Sellers Bowl presented by It's Good with Gary.
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. Did you know, back in the day, there was actually a salad bowl? I'm not making that up. At one point in time, there was a salad bowl.
Yep.
I think they last played...
At least that name makes sense.
Oh, maybe we can get a bowl of Cheerios, too. I gotta throw this out there. I've stood behind the Florida Gators all year. They got absolutely handled by Louisville, but Louisville earned that win. And I gotta tell you, I was really, really impressed with the way their quarterback played, particularly in third down situations. Charlie Strong's done a lot with that program, and it'll be exciting to see where they go from here, particularly headed to the ACC.
Yeah, I think what impressed me most about that was it came just a couple weeks after Charlie Strong said no to the SEC with the Tennessee job opening.
That shocked me.
And then, and then turned around, and a lot of people thought that Louisville was going to get steamrolled, and they were the ones who were doing the rolling. So to me, that was extremely impressive. Now, I apologize to you, being the Gator fan that you are.
Well, for me, I don't try to hide my. I try to be unbiased, but I'm upfront with it. I'm an Air Force fan first. I like Florida second. I grew up in Florida. My family's Florida fans. My sister attends the University of Florida. That was a little bit disappointing. And the problem was, when Air Force lost their bowl game, Florida played Air Force in basketball. Air Force hung with Florida and ended up losing to Florida. Then Florida turns around. It was like I couldn't catch a break. All my teams were losing right there at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's transition now and talk a little bit about the NFL. The playoffs are at hand. We saw some interesting games last week. First off, before we get to postseason playoff football, let's look back on the regular season. If you have an MVP, if you're voting for the MVP, who gets your vote?
Adrian Peterson, hands down. The fact that less than a year, actually just a little more than a year ago, he was spending New Year's Eve on a hospital bed, having just had reconstructive surgery on his knee. A knee injury that, you know, a lot of people, like if it happened to you or I playing pickup football or something like that, might have taken us 10 months to come back from. I mean, Adrian Peterson was starting from week one. And not just starting, but, I mean, putting up 150 yards a game, it seemed like, from week one. That's awesome. And he literally carried his team to the playoffs. You can't tell me that Christian Ponder was the reason that the Vikings made the playoffs.
No, Christian, if you take Adrian Peterson away from that team, they're not a playoff team. They're a first overall pick in the draft team. It's not that I think Christian Ponder's so bad. I think Christian Ponder's a decent quarterback. They have nothing else. Who's going to run the ball? Percy Harvin when he doesn't have a migraine? Kyle Rudolph can only catch so many balls to tight end. I'll agree with you. Adrian Peterson's my MVP, and it's been a long time since we've seen a running back win the MVP. It's typically a quarterback award. What about with the Rookie of the Year? We talked about this before the season. I laughed at you with your preseason Rookie of the Year pick. Are you still standing by Russell Wilson?
I am still standing by Russell Wilson. Actually, I picked Luck. I said Russell Wilson would be a dark horse, but I'm going to go ahead and move him out of the dark horse and into the Rookie of the Year spot. The fact that he kind of came back from almost what people said Aaron Rodgers was. He wasn't athletic enough. He was too short. They were kind of dogging on him because of that. I mean, granted, Andrew Luck did inherit a far worse team than Russell Wilson did. I just think that Russell Wilson's body of work probably stood above Luck and RG3.
I have to go with Andrew Luck. You can't take a team from worst in the NFL into the playoffs and not be the Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. And I think he deserves some MVP consideration, too. What he did was very impressive because that team didn't change. There wasn't a whole lot of turnover. That team underwent a lot of challenge and difficulty ongoing this season with the coach, Chuck Pagano, being in the hospital.
See, I agree with that, but Luck had too many interceptions. He had Reggie Wayne, who had been around for Peyton Manning, who kind of could take Luck under his wing and show him the ropes. You look at Russell Wilson, he had Marshawn Lynch, who has been kind of unpredictable over the years, and his off-the-field incursions, I guess you could say, were really starting to pick up some media traction in the offseason. And to me, it seemed like Russell Wilson stepped in from day one with that, put that leadership hat on, and just kind of took control of the team. Marshawn Lynch became a much better player, a much more reliable player this year, and I think a lot of that was due to just the maturity of Russell Wilson.
Okay, I'll give you the maturity level of Russell Wilson. He plays like a veteran quarterback. But let me ask you this: where does the Seahawks passing offense rank in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, they're not really a pass team, though.
Well, they ranked 29th, and you're talking about Andrew Luck. He threw interceptions. They had a top 10 passing attack. You know who else threw a lot of interceptions? Brett Favre threw a ton of interceptions. As a Packers fan,
yeah. I mean,
you would know.
The perennial gunslinger.
An interception is not – I mean, I had a buddy who ran a statistics project and determined that the driving factor on quarterback money making, the one thing that the quarterbacks that made the most money had in common was interceptions. And the fact is, if they can throw interceptions and still keep their job, it's because they're doing other things well. I hear what you're saying about Andrew Luck having thrown a lot of interceptions, but to take a team from worst to, would they finish 10-6, 11-5?
10-6, yeah. I mean, honestly, the three names that everyone's been throwing around, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, and Russell Wilson, I wouldn't be surprised and or upset if either one of those guys won the Rookie of the Year this year.
And we didn't get to give any, we didn't talk about Robert Griffin III, and there's no doubting that he played absolutely incredibly. But Alfred Morris, another rookie who's the running back, played just lights out as well.
And we'll discuss a little bit more on Alfred Morris here in a little while.
I remember early in the season, you talked to me about Alfred Morris, and I said, "Wait, who?" We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll don't worry. We'll touch up on that. We'll get back to that.
Let's talk through a couple of these games this weekend. Saturday afternoon, Baltimore and Denver. Who you got? What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, the line is Denver -9. I'm picking Denver. I think it's going to be Denver by big, honestly. I've got Denver 24-7. To me, this team is starting to resemble the team that they had in the late 90s with John Elway, Terrell Davis, Sharp. I mean, this is a good, strong team. And it's honestly hard to remember that smackdown that they got by the Falcons was even this season. It seems like it was a year or two ago.
That was week two.
That Monday night, yeah. I mean, it's just incredible to think that they've turned their season around and come back from that. And honestly, Flacco has not played that well on the road, and it's tough against a Manning offense that's clicking right now with Decker, with Demaryius Thomas. I mean, they seem to be hitting on all cylinders at this point.
Denver ran the ball 45 times. 45 times. 45 times. When they beat the Ravens in week 15. 14, I think it was 15. 45 times. That's unreal with Peyton Manning as a quarterback.
45 times, and that's with Willis McGahee out. That's with Knowshon Moreno. I mean, that's not even their number one back who had all of those touches.
I see no reason they won't run all over him again. I'm with you on the Denver thing. I think they'll score more than that, though. They've only had two games this year that they won that they didn't score more than 30 points. I'll take them in a bigger scoring fashion. I think it'll be much more like that 34-17 first showing.
Yeah, and sadly that means Ray Lewis's brilliant career comes to a close, but it's good that he had that great home game kind of to finish things out. I thought it was a good move of Harbaugh to put him in on that last offensive play.
That was kind of neat, and there's kind of some poetic justice too in the fact of Baltimore and Indy meeting in the playoffs. Kind of like that too. Let's move to the game that's near and dear to your heart, and try and not get too emotional here. Green Bay at San Francisco. Who you got?
All right, taking emotion and bias and all that aside, for those of you who don't know, I am a part owner of the Green Bay Packers. So taking that out, I do have the Packers. San Francisco is a -3 favorite in this one, but I've got the Packers 28-14.
Kidding me? 28-14?
I'm not kidding. Let me finish this.
They lost 30-22 in week one.
I realize that. It's a rematch from week one, but it's a rematch from week one in name only. Here's the
in Green Bay versus in San Francisco. Okay.
Rodgers is a much different quarterback than he was in week one. Rodgers and the offense are clicking. The Packers have established a run game. The Packers are actually able to move the ball, which then frees up the receivers. They've got this.
Who's your leading running
little,
back?
Play action thing that they're able to run, and it seems to be working out for them. The defense is finally healthy, and San Francisco is a new quarterback, which totally takes Vernon Davis out of the equation.
Okay.
Davis had what, 3 receptions for 61 yards, I think it was, in the first game. Davis has had 6 receptions since Kaepernick has taken over as quarterback. I mean, it's a totally different offense.
I gotta stop you. Who's the leading running back for the Green Bay Packers?
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. Probably Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
Aaron Rodgers is number 2. He's got 259 rushing yards, and he's only 200 yards behind your leading rusher. Is it Alex Green?
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
Although Alex Green has been injured, so Alex Green hasn't even really played the last couple of
games. I'm unimpressed with the Packers' run game. Yes, your defense is finally getting back to being healthy, but they're not any healthier than they were in week one when your offense was healthy, okay? San Francisco, I've been saying all along, look, rookie quarterbacks play great for about 6 to 8, maybe 9 weeks. They're going to have great numbers because people aren't getting used. They're just getting used to them. Take Cam Newton last year, for instance. Colin Kaepernick's
Are you talking rookie quarterbacks or first-time starters?
First-time starters. Somebody who's bringing something different to the table, a la Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
Somebody's going to figure out that read option. It's coming. It's going to happen this year in the playoffs. It could very well be the Green Bay Packers, but I don't think so.
Look at how the Packers handled the read option with Joe Webb last weekend.
Joe Webb went 5 of 12 when they flashed the stat up on the score and at the halftime or whatever. The first play he ran for like 14 yards, I was like, well, this could be trouble. And then he couldn't hit anybody. Like he was like 5 for 12 for 22 yards at halftime.
Okay, I'm not talking about passing, though. You brought up the read option.
Joe Webb doesn't run a read option.
The Packers handled that read option.
No. I'm taking San Francisco. Look, I think it's tough for teams to beat the same team twice in the same year. But San Francisco went to Green Bay and beat them in week one. This time Green Bay is going to San Francisco. I'm taking the Niners. That defense is too good. They're in the top 5 against the run and the pass. They've got a solid ground game. Colin Kaepernick, the dude's good, and I think he's a better quarterback than Alex Smith. I'm just not a fan of the midseason move.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this a little bit, but honestly, like, all this aside, no matter who wins, it's good to see Green Bay and San Francisco playing each other again in the playoffs, because there were 4 straight years back in the 90s when these teams met, and that kind of turned into like an instant playoff classic, Niners-Packers, so it's good to see. I'm going to bring one question to the table, and then we can move on. Do you think that Green Bay is playing with a chip on their shoulder, trying to avenge last season and what kind of appeared to be a failure? The fact they went 15-1, kind of ran the table in the regular season, everyone had them as Super Bowl favorites, and then they laid a goose egg against the Giants. Do you think that they're trying to avenge last season, or are they playing, you know, totally separate from that, playing for this season?
No, I don't think they are. Last year that team was unstoppable. This year the team has been, for lack of better words, I feel like they've kind of been holding on for dear life at points. Don't get me wrong, they've played great football. They've played good football down the stretch, but they started out rough. I know the Seahawks, is it a catch, is it an interception thing, but the Packers aren't as dominant as they were a year ago. Part of it has to do with injuries. Part of it has to do with the lack of the ground game. I don't think they're maybe there's a chip on their shoulder, but I think, I don't want to say they're in over their heads, but they're hanging on for dear life is more of how I would put it.
Just my sense. Well, we'll see on Saturday night.
Moving on to Sunday. I think the hottest team in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks, with your Russell Wilson at quarterback, head to Atlanta to face the Falcons, who can't get any respect, and they want to know, why can't you respect us? Well, win a game in January. Do you have Atlanta winning the game in January when it counts and finally earning that respect that they think they deserve?
This is Atlanta's game to lose. It really is. I mean, it's Mike Smith, it's Matt Ryan. They're, what, 0-3 at home in the playoffs in the last, you know, 4 years or whatever, you know, however long it's been since Matt Ryan has come into the league. He plays lights out during the season, but they get to the playoffs and they just can't seem to go anywhere. And unfortunately, this reminds me a lot of the playoffs 2 years ago when the Packers came into town. Atlanta had the number one. No, I'm not bringing it back to the Packers. This is all on the Seahawks. Atlanta had the number one seed back then. The Packers came in and they were actually favored in this game. The line is Atlanta -1, but that you might as well just say it's even or even give Seattle the edge regardless of the line, and the line might even move this week. I mean, by the time we get to the game on Sunday, the Seahawks might actually be the favorite.
No, the line shifted. I think it opened -3.
It did. It's at -1 now, and it's only Tuesday, so we'll see what happens. So, this has a lot of scary resemblances to 2 years ago. I've got Seattle winning in a close one. I think this is probably going to be the closest game of the weekend. We've got Seattle 24-21. The question is, will Atlanta come out strong? They need to be able to establish the run I mean, they've got two stud receivers in Roddy White and Julio Jones. If they establish the run, they'll be able to get those safeties to bite, and they'll be able to open up space on the outside, and Matt Ryan will be able to pass. But if they're not able to establish the run, then I think that secondary, I mean, Seattle is probably the best, arguably the best secondary in the league.
Yeah, they're
definitely the best secondary left in the playoffs.
They're top. I think they're sixth against the pass in the NFL this year. I don't think Atlanta's established the run. Let's face it, Michael Turner is not what he once was. And Jaquizz Rodgers, he's good, but he's not that good. That team is based solely on passing, kind of the way the Lions are, but maybe not quite to that extent. I think for the Falcons to win, they need to force Russell Wilson to have to make some plays down the stretch. Russell Wilson plays much better at home when he's got the 12th man there than he does when he's on the road. Early in the season, Russell Wilson had no interceptions. Almost all season long, Russell Wilson had no interceptions at home, and all of his interceptions came on the road where they were losing games. If they can force him into some bad decisions on defense, Mike Nolan's running that defense now. If they can do that, they've got a chance. Otherwise...
Yeah, but how did, as you call it, my boy Russell Wilson play in D.C.? Did you hear that stadium in the first quarter? When the Redskins were up 14-0, that stadium was rocking. It sounded a lot like the 12th man in Seattle, only for the opposite team. I mean,
I don't...
Come on. It honestly, Russell Wilson, yeah, he might not have played well on the road in the regular season, but he played lights out last weekend in hostile territory in Washington.
No, I hear you. I'm picking the Seahawks. And I'll tell you, the thing I like the most about Russell Wilson is the way he runs down the field to throw blocks as the play's going on. Because you'll see quarterbacks who are big-name quarterbacks who they won't go after a guy if they throw the pick, and I understand that. But in the playoffs, when it's like it's do or die, it's win or go home, you know what? You gotta go do what you got to do. Russell Wilson's running – he's handing off the ball, and then he's running down the field trying to do anything he can to help his team out, and I like that about the guy.
All right, when Atlanta loses on Sunday, moving into next season, do they kind of become the Dallas Cowboys with Tony Romo? Does Matt Ryan become the next Tony Romo, where it's a question every year where people say, does he deserve to be the starter? Yeah, he can put up the – or Phillip Rivers, you know, someone who puts up the numbers, puts up decent regular season numbers, but can't seem to get them either into the playoffs or do anything once they get there.
No, I don't think so, because I don't view that as Matt. I hear what you're saying. You make a solid point. I hadn't thought about it before. But Matt Ryan's not the reason they're losing these games. When they played the Packers, that team just didn't show up. They fell flat.
Rodgers had arguably one of the best quarterback performances in the playoffs
he ever.
I mean, that's hard to win against.
He did. But you got to look at Romo cost games. Ryan has not cost any games. Phillip Rivers... Man, whatever. But Romo is either he's going to win the game for you in the fourth quarter, or he's going to lose the game for you, and he's going to break your heart. I don't put Ryan in that category, but they do move into that same class of, well, they're already there. You got to do something for me to have that respect. Let's look at the late game Sunday. Houston goes to New England. It's another rematch. The first time around, New England won 42-14. Will they win again?
Yes, they will, and I think they're going to win kind of big. Honestly, Houston played flat against Cincinnati. I was watching yesterday on NFL Live on ESPN, and someone said that it was a game that belonged on a cable access channel, not a national televised game. I mean, it was pretty bad. And the fact that they barely won at home, here's a stat for you. Since Gillette Stadium opened... and I believe it was 2002. New England is 9-2 at home in the playoffs. I mean, that's like Lambeau Field numbers right there.
Yeah, they lost to the Ravens a couple years ago. I don't know who
they lost
to
the Ravens, and they lost to the Jets. Those are their only two losses at home. So honestly, I mean, when Lambeau Field, the first 13 games that were played at Lambeau Field, the Packers won 13-0. And I'm sorry I keep bringing it back to the Packers.
No, you're not. I mean, you're not sorry.
No. When people talked about best home field advantage in the playoffs, it was always Lambeau Field. I mean, that's what it was, because Lambeau Field was kind of that, like, you don't go into Lambeau in January as a visiting team and expect to win. At least that's how it was. Recently, things have been a little bit different, but that's how Gillette Stadium is. I mean, honestly, December and later, you don't go in and expect to walk out with a win. So I think it's going to be really tough. I think New England wins big. The line is minus 9.5, but I've got New England winning 35-17. Gronk is back. I mean, they're healthy now.
My biggest issue is the Texans don't have a come-from-behind offense. Their whole game plan is to get out on top early and just grind away, control the clock. And they just don't have what it takes to be able to come from behind if things don't go well. We saw that when they played the first time. I think we'll see that again. Brady's too good. Belichick game plan's too well. I'm taking the Patriots, and this one's not even close in my opinion. I didn't take the Texans last week, so maybe they'll surprise me again. But I'm all in with the Patriots. I think the Patriots and versus Manning is going to be a great matchup, another rematch. Brady Manning and Patriots Broncos. I think that's what we're going to see in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And just like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are two mastermind quarterbacks, Doug and I have been going back and forth on sports like mastermind analysts for quite some time now. Doug said he had a surprise for me for here at the end. He's got some, I don't know what you got for me, but I hand you the floor. You got the mic.
All right, Gary. I believe it's the end of August, beginning of September. You and I sent a series of texts back and forth with each other. It kind of was our bold predictions for the 2012 NFL season. So I took my iPhone. I went back to August, late August, and wrote down everything that we had predicted. So we're gonna take a minute here, a minute or two here, to look over everything that we said and start to analyze it. I said my NFC Championship game was Green Bay over San Francisco, which is, it's interesting. Green Bay is playing San Francisco. It's not the NFC Championship game, but it is the second round of the playoffs. You said San Francisco doesn't make the NFC Championship, and you went on a limb and said the Giants don't make the NFC Championship game either. You don't know too much about them. Well, as it turns out, they didn't make the playoffs at all.
That's a point of my corner.
I then went on to say the Patriots beat Houston in the AFC Championship. Again, it's interesting because the Patriots are playing Houston this weekend. It's not the AFC Championship game, but they are playing in the playoffs. So I predicted that both teams would end up meeting in the playoffs. So that was kind of spot on right there. For you, you said for Houston, though, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, fool me three times in a row. Kubiak fired by the end of the season.
No, here's what happened. A couple years ago, I went through and I was like, this is the year for the Texans. They're going to finally go to the Super Bowl. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to do it up. And they fell short. And then last year, I said, this is the year for the Texans. They're going to do it this year. Not again. You can't fool me again. I was high on them early on, and then I saw how they played when they lost some of those games. They fell flat there at the end of the season. No way. I'm not taking the Texans. Who did I end up going with?
Well, we'll get to that. But I also said that the Super Bowl was going to be a rematch of Super Bowl 31, same city, same stadium, Packers against the Patriots. So we'll see what happens there in a couple of weeks. I then went on to say that the MVP this year was going to be Arian Foster, and he was going to break the single-season yards record. Well, as it turns out, the MVP was not, or we don't know yet, but it's not going to be Foster. It's probably going to be Peterson, and Peterson almost broke the record. Honestly, I don't know what made me think that the record was going to fall this year, because it's been, what, 30 years or something? I mean, it was...
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's held up for a long time, but... There was something, you know, in the back of my mind that said, I think it's going to fall this year. Foster ended up sixth with just over 1,400 yards. So not quite on with Foster, but, hey, running back was on track. Then you responded with Arian Foster more likely to break an ankle than the record.
Well, that's true.
Arian Foster did not break anything.
Well, he broke no records. He broke no ankles. Well, he did break some ankles on the field, but he did not break his own ankle.
Yes. I then said the Saints struggle in this playoffs. You said the Saints will have 7 wins. They finished 7-9.
Bang, biscuit.
good job on both of us on that one.
That's nothing but
I said there. Stafford throws for less than 4,500 yards. You said you agreed with me. He only throws 4,500. Who was number two in the league this year? Do you know?
And throwing off the top of your head. And passing yards?
In pass yards.
I know that Stafford threw a ton of yardage in the second half, but in the first half...
Stafford was number two this season with 4,967 yards.
Oh, we both missed
almost
that.
Hit the 5,000-yard mark again. Well, we're both way off on that one.
Win a few games, and then we'll talk.
I said Rodgers and Brady both top 5,000, but the record is safe. You said everybody will throw for 5,000.
Well, they will. The offense, everything the is so geared for the offense.
The fact is, everybody did not throw for 5,000. Breeze was the only person he threw for 5,100 some odd yards.
Everyone throws for 5,000 nowadays.
Chuck
Stafford threw for 5,000 last year.
What's that?
Ryan Tannehill will probably throw for 5,000 yards in the next 2 years. Everybody.
Yeah, you also went on to say that. Everyone is implementing Hawaii's old offensive game plan, and 6,000 yards will be the norm in a season or two.
Did I say a season or two, or did I say in a few years?
You said a season or two, so we'll see what happens with that.
I think we'll see 6,000 yards in time.
I went on to say Tebow will be started by week 6, not necessarily in New York City. It looked like Tebow was going to be a starter at the end of the season, but then Rex Ryan decided to jump him twice.
Yeah.
You said Tebow starts soon. We were both off on that one.
Well, that's a discussion. We talked about that. We're taping.
I also said Rex Ryan will be fired by midseason. That was not the case at all. The Jets fired Tony Sperano yesterday. Rex Ryan is laying by the pool in the Bahamas with his wife with the Sanchez jersey. Tebowing with the Sanchez jersey.
I don't think that's Tebowing.
Rex Ryan made it to the end of the season, and so far through the offseason, still has a job. I said the Cowboys make the playoffs. They win a wild card game. You said they don't make the playoffs. Good on you. Once again, Tony Romo coughed it up last game of the season, and they couldn't.
I will predict that again for next season, too. The Cowboys will not make the playoffs next year. Tony Romo will cost them a game. It's the same old song, both a different theme since you came along.
Getting down to our last two bold predictions, I said Luck wins Rookie of the Year, Wilson's a dark horse. You said RG3 is Rookie of the Year if you want a quarterback. Now, along those lines, I also said draft Alfred Morris.
You did. Okay.
I said draft Alfred Morris.
Let me explain. When we were making these bold predictions was the day of my fantasy football draft, or right the day before. And you said, you were telling me about Alfred Morris, and I said, did I say who is Alfred Morris?
Yes, you said who is Alfred Morris.
Yeah, okay, so you had me here, and you were explaining how you watched him in the preseason, which I don't even watch preseason games. I watched the first couple quarters. That's not true.
I was bored out of my mind. I watched almost every single preseason game this year.
You were
nuts. Which I think is one of the reasons why I won my first championship in fantasy.
Let's not talk fantasy football until later. You explained Alfred Morris is going to have a big year. Trust you on it. I did not trust you on it. Brother Braden ended up snagging Alfred Morris in my fantasy league, and Brother Braden did me in when it was late in the year. And Alfred Morris did well for
him. Did he draft Alfred Morris, or did he pick him up week 2?
6 and 1/2 dozen the other. I didn't take him when you told me to.
Yeah.
I like
Alfred Morris was the number 2 rusher this season behind Adrian Peterson.
I was all over Doug Martin, though. The little buckaroo, that's my man right there. And when he put up those buku fantasy points 3 weeks in a row, I was loving it. Those were also
probably, 200 what was it? Like 250 yards, couple touchdowns, couple games in a row. I mean, it was impressive.
Any other bold predictions that we didn't hit?
No, that's the end of our bold predictions.
Any bold predictions for this weekend that we didn't cover?
No. I've got Green Bay big.
Yeah, of course you do. What else is new? All right, well, that'll wrap it up for this one. Next time we're going to talk some more playoff football. I've got a buddy who he pitched a 6-team BCS playoff system. And I told him there's no way 6 teams will work. It's either 4, I like 8. And then we sat down and we talked about it. Of course, we were having a beer watching the Virginia Tech Rutgers game. He laid out his thoughts and plans for it, and I think I'm sold. I like the 16 idea, and we'll probably have to discuss that. Jeremy might have to join us next week. Another thing for next week, Chip Kelly not landing in the NFL. He's going back to college. I've talked quite a bit with my former boss, Jeff Smart. He played for Chip Kelly, and he's looking forward to joining us. We'll
hear recently what, engaged Jeff Smart, isn't he?
I think he's married. I think he got married.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
We'll talk to him next week, and we'll find out. But we've got a couple other exciting things coming up. We'll talk about all those, and that's a tease right there. So be looking for that next week.
Shout out to Mike Giannone. We'll try and get him on one of these weeks, too.
Well, okay. Mikey G is going to come on and talk football and baseball. Baseball is getting ready to get going. That's going to be a lot of fun. What's the deal with the Hall of Fame thing? You said you were going to write about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Hall of Fame, I believe the results are coming out in a week or two, so hopefully we'll have something up on the blog. Kind of my ideas of where we should go with the Hall of Fame voting for the next few years and everything that's happened with the steroid era.
Okay, well, I nominate you to get on that and do some serious writing.
I'll work on
it. My sister does my editing. She says my football posts are too long. They slowly grew from 4 to 5 to 6 to when they got to 8, 9, 10 pages long. She's like, 2 pages is your limit. Playoffs rolled around.
Because she didn't want to edit them.
Yeah. Well, the writing got better. It's not as bad as it used to be. Oh, here's the other thing for you. I'm gonna throw this out and then we'll close on this. Yesterday, she texted me and thought William Shatner was at the game. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, William Shatner. He's at the game. He's on the Notre Dame sideline. She thought Brian Kelly looks like William Shatner. He does, doesn't he?
He does a little bit.
Yes, yeah. I started laughing so hard. That was too funny. All right, Doug. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It's great to have you back on, and we'll get back to doing this weekly.
All right. Live long and prosper.
Oh, I like the Star Trek reference there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back up again next week. See ya. Believe it.